This is KNBA News. I'm Jacqueline Estes. Yesterday was the last day of the scheduled 90-day legislative session, but legislators didn't finish their work. The education bill is still on the table, and several important pieces of legislation have passed one chamber but not the other, including the capital budget. Legislators worked into the early hours this morning and plan to reconvene today at 1 p.m. The legislature passed a natural gas pipeline bill that approves an agreement among the state, ConocoPhillips, BP, Exxon, and TransCanada. It passed a bill taking $3 billion out of the constitutional budget reserve to pay down public retirement debt, lowering Alaska's annual payments. The bill puts $1 billion into the public employee retirement system and $2 billion into the teachers' retirement system. And a bill making Alaska's 20 Alaska Native languages official state languages passed the legislature just after 3 this morning. About 100 people had gathered at the Capitol yesterday at noon for a sit-in that lasted until the bill was passed. Legislators also passed Senate Bill 108, which makes court records confidential when criminal charges are dismissed or the accused is acquitted. A bill to boost infrastructure development in the Arctic passed both chambers. Senate Bill 140 creates incentives for private investment in ports, roads, and telecommunications projects in the Arctic. The bill was developed by the Alaska Arctic Policy Commission and expands the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority's ability to offer loans, loan guarantees, and bonds for infrastructure development in the Arctic. The House passed a capital budget with $20 million for the Susitna-Wetana Dam project. That now goes to the Senate for its consideration. A bill giving tax credits to oil refineries passed one chamber, as did a crime and corrections bill. The Federal Subsistence Board last week unanimously approved a special action request from the Napaskiak Traditional Council that would limit any available king salmon to federally qualified subsistence users of 32 specific Kuskokwim communities. KYUK's Ben Matheson has more.
In the discussion about limiting the pool of eligible fishermen, the board heard passionate testimony about the need for Chinook harvest.
Through blood, sweat, and tears, we feed our families.
That's George Guy of Queethluck. They also heard calls for strong conservation measures. Lisa Feiereisen is from Chuathluck.
I want to be able to show my grandchildren what a Chinook salmon looks like.
The action passed by the board doesn't specifically open up any harvest of kings, nor does it shut down fisheries that could incidentally catch kings. All it does is say who will be at the table if the run comes in stronger than expected. Gene Peltillo Jr. is the Assistant Regional Director for the Office of Subsistence Management.
The forecast right now is for a very small harvestable surplus. If there is not an opportunity for a harvestable surplus, all this is a moot point. But if the run progresses such that there is deemed to be a harvestable surplus available, you have to have this in place in order to attempt to allocate or provide fish.
In that scenario, the initial pool contains residents of 32 villages running from Chifornik up to McGrath, including Bethel. The list excludes communities like Quinnahawk, Platinum, Good News Bay, Nightmute, Newtok, Tanunik, and Tuksuk Bay, plus Makoryuk. In the 32 villages, there would be 14,000 people with incredible fishing power. Managers would need to further restrict among those users. The board indicated they wanted the federal in-season manager to have a range of management tools at his disposal, but they did not specify an exact allocation strategy. There were several ideas presented by the Office of Subsistence Management. Managers could begin by allocating 25 Chinook salmon per village. If there are more fish available, that surplus could be split among the villages, excluding Bethel, proportionally based on their 20-year harvest average. The allocation among Bethel residents could be done through a second so-called Section 804 analysis, in which individuals would see opportunity based on three criteria: customary and direct dependence on the resource as a mainstay of livelihood, plus local residency and the availability of other resources. The draft framework says if it were not possible to do that analysis in time, there could be a simple drawing permit for Bethel residents. The Federal Subsistence Board did not endorse any of the specific allocation strategies. In Bethel, I'm Ben Matheson.
This is KNBA News. I'm Jacqueline Estes.